This is Thoughts Become Things. With each episode, we'll help you reach the highest creative potential that God has for you. With your host, a teacher, life coach, a dream coach, and motivational speaker, Jeremy Lopez.
Everyone, and welcome to another podcast of Thoughts Become Things. I am Jeremy Lopez, and I am really excited today you join with me. You know, I don't know about you, but it's a beautiful week this week. I think we're getting rain this weekend, but you know what? It's always beautiful because the earth needs to be replenished. The earth needs to be watered. The earth needs to be nurtured. And you know what? It's interesting how nature just sort of does what we do as well to ourselves. You know, we need water. We need nurturing. We have all the things that we need in our lives because God is in our lives, and He is the all sufficient one, and He knows how to take care of the planet. And I love that. So really, we always have a good day, do we not? Rain, sunshine, whatever. It's just how nature begins to take care of itself and take in water itself. So I love it. I'm all happy about that. Can you tell I love nature? So by the way, I want to talk to you guys about something that's really been on my heart today, and that is be angry and sin not. Be angry and sin not. And I think sometimes, you know, a lot of people that find themselves as Christian people really, and this is really a message for anyone, but the truth is, you know, we find ourselves sometimes thinking, I can't get upset. I'm not allowed to cuss, per se. I'm not allowed to get mad. You know, maybe I should just keep it internally. Here's the key thing. When the Bible says be angry and sin not, it doesn't mean you can't share emotion. It doesn't mean that you don't have an opinion about a situation, especially for being taken advantage of. You know, if someone's taking advantage of you, you know what? It's okay to be bold. The Bible says the righteous are as bold as a lion, and there's no problem with that. You need to be able to realize that I have the power and the right to be bold, and I can be bold in a situation. And be bold means sometimes you can be a little aggressive. You have that power to sort of, you know, be a little aggressive and say, this is not actually how it's supposed to be, or this is how it's supposed to be, or you know what, I'm not going to be taken advantage of by you. This is what I'm going to say. This is what I'm going to do. There's nothing wrong with that. And I think if you think of a lion, for example, you know, the Bible says that Jesus is the lion of the tribe of Judah. You think of a lion, you think a lion could eat you alive. It could eat you up and spit you out. You know, it's the king of the jungle. It roars. It lets everyone know that it's there and that this is its territory. And if you look at our lives, you think, how are we like an unto lions? Well, good question. Because the truth is we are the lions. The righteous are as bold as a lion. And a lion got, you know, according to nature and according to studies of animals, realizes that if it doesn't roar, then its prey will not actually fear it. People will not fear it. Now, does that mean that we get loud and we get boisterous and we, you know, do those kind of things to make people fear us? No. What it means is the Bible says a soft answer turns away wrath. So my question to you would be, well, which one is it? Well, guess what? It's both of them. And what that means is you have the right to be angry in the sense of bold and tell people like it is in the sense of how the situation is going to be, because somebody's got to take leadership ability. Think about it. Someone has to take the reins. It's like if you're on a horse and if someone doesn't actually grab a hold of the reins, guess what's going to happen? That horse is going to either throw you off or gallop wherever it wants to go. And we don't want that, do we? We want to be able to be targeted and have a vision of what we want. And this is my goal. And this is my dream. You know, here's my target. Here's my plan. Here's my strategy. And from that, sometimes you just have to begin to grab, you know, grab the harness of life and just say, you know what? If I don't steer this thing and be bold with it and say exactly how it's going to be, it's not going to be that way. And the truth is life is waiting on you to answer it. Life is waiting on you. Life is waiting on you to tell it what to do. See, we're not here for life to just tell us what to do and do. You know, we just go with the flow. We're here to tell life this is how it's going to be. Because the truth is, you know, the world comes with its joys and its sorrows and its bad times and horrible times. And sometimes you see deaths you don't want to see. And sometimes you see people get sick and die. And sometimes life is just not fair. But the truth is, if you begin to look at your life and realize, you know what, I might not can control everything, but there's a lot of things I actually can control. A lot of things are requiring me and my leadership ability and my boldness and my aggressiveness and my authority to begin to say, this is how it's going to happen. This is what's going to happen, and this is the way it's going to come forth. Because if you don't, folks, here's the key thing. If you don't, then what's going to happen is what will be will just be. And you've got to begin to see life. And sometimes people can be very extreme. And in our extremities, we say we don't control life at all. And then you get other people who say we do control everything we do. Well, the truth is we don't. And it's got to be 50-50. It's give and take. And what that means for you is you've got to begin to understand through discernment and through just revelational knowledge to know is this situation something that needs my hand and input into it? Is this something that I can speak into? And everything in life, it's really easy. Everything in life will tell you either you don't have a say-so about it, or you do. And think about that, because life can be our teacher at times, but sometimes we need to teach life that we're its teacher. And so it's not wrong to say, do I have input into my world? Can I speak into my world and tell it what needs to happen? Absolutely you can. But you've got to also understand the inevitable. And that is sometimes things do happen for certain reasons, and sometimes things do happen you can't control. And you've got to be okay with that without getting emotionally angry and mad. You know, when the Bible says to be angry and sin not, it doesn't mean you don't have the right to be bold and say, you know what, I'm sort of aggravated about this. This is not right. This is not fair. But it's where the emotion can take you that makes it wrong. And you've got to begin to look at your life and realize that, you know, if this emotion is triggering something in me, or if this emotion is taking me into a place where I'm getting madder and madder, and to where I want to take it out on somebody, or I want to do something that's not right, that's not praiseworthy and virtuous, like the Bible says, of the things we should think about. If it's taking you somewhere, stop. Because guess what? You've just crossed over a path that's where it's wrong for you. Because emotions are not something that runs us. We run our emotions. And that's every single emotion. You know, when people say happiness is a choice, it is 101% true. You can choose to be happy. And if I was to think right now, maybe people that have done me dirty, or something that happened to me, or someone who ran me off the road one day, I can, within 10 seconds of you guys listening to me in this podcast, if I have thought good and hard about it long enough, I can start my emotion to stir up. And the emotion of anger, and the emotion of, you know, I'll get them, an emotion of whatever it is that's negative, I can do that. I have the right to do that. And here's the key thing as a human being. But I don't want to do that, because my emotion begins to override me when I begin to ponder on what's happening. And if that emotion begins to grow in me, and you have to remember this, everything you focus on expands. And if I'm focusing on the negativity, it will grow in me. And therefore, it becomes wrong to me. So it says, be angry, but sin not. That means, here's what it means. It means it's okay to have an emotion, just know when to cut it off. It's okay to get frustrated. It's okay to say, stop. This is how it's going to be. And when you do, then cut the emotion off. Do not attach an emotion of negativity to anything that you know will grow in you. I mean, that's really the first rule of thumb when it deals with be angry and sin not. Don't attach any emotion, for lack of better words, to a situation that you are pondering on, you're meditating upon, and that means, that literally just means, you know, if I think about it long enough, that emotion is going to grow in me. Then guess what? That emotion is being fed by you. And you're watering that seed, and it's going to grow in you. And before long, it's going to be so out of hand, you can't even control it. Because think about it. If the more that I cause, you can take a mother, and you can take a newborn infant, and it could be a newborn little boy. And you know what? She has the power over him. Now, not that that should, you know, should mean a whole lot to us, because we don't want this to happen. But let's just go there for a moment. That means if she drops a baby, guess what? The baby's helpless. You know, she could kill it. You know, she has the right to do whatever she wants to with that infant. Now, once again, we're not saying do any harm to children. No, but I'm saying, though, as an infant, it's vulnerable. And she has to be careful, because she can hurt it, destroy it, or kill it. And we think about that, how horrible and devastating that is when someone, you know, murders their children. And we think, oh, they're helpless, they're vulnerable, what is wrong with parents? You know, let's send them to jail. And because you reap what you sow. But if you have to remember that that little boy, the more that he's fed into, the more he's fed properly, the more he's raised in life, he could become a huge, gigantic guy one day that could work out and overpower his mother, for lack of better words. Now, once again, we don't want this to happen. But what I'm saying is, at one point, she was the strong one. And years down the road, he can become the strong one. And guess what? She could destroy him as an infant. And when he gets older, he could destroy her as she gets older as well, and as he gets older. So that shows you right there, whatever you feed and whatever you nurture will grow. And that thing before long will overpower you, and you won't have the power over it. And so what you have to do is you have to learn to control your emotions, to say, it's okay that I am angry right now, this is happening. It's okay that I'm mad, this is going on. It's okay right now that I'm frustrated, this is happening to me. But here's the key thing. If you can say, I've had enough of this, and you can feel the emotion of anger at that moment, but all of a sudden you said, it makes me so mad. But then you know how to turn it around and sort of channel it, or sort of reshift it, for lack of better words, or shift it into a place of, well, you know what, nothing I can do about it. It's okay. Or I'm going to pray about it right now, and I'm going to let it go. Then you know right there, you know what, that you empowered the anger, and you had control over it, and you boxed it in, and you put boundaries around it, because you knew at that moment, I'm the one that's controlling you, and I'm not going to feed into you as an emotion. I'm not going to allow you to be, you know, to be fed the water and the nutrients it needs to grow. I'm going to let you know that I sense you. I'm aware of you, of what you're making me go through in the feeling of, you know, emotion of anger. And I recognize that. And it's okay, because you are projecting, talking about anger, you're projecting against a situation that rubbed me the wrong way, that I don't like, I was taken advantage of, or someone else was. And then when you acknowledge that and you feel that, then instantly say, you know what, hey, here's the key thing. This is what I tell people. When you've done that, say, hey, you know what, hey, anger, you did your job. You did your job, that's enough. You did your job. And that is, you recognize that I did not like the situation. I was being taken advantage of. Or either it was taking advantage of someone else, or it was not fair. So guess what, anger, you did your job. Thank you. Because the truth is, if you didn't feel that emotion, that emotion might not push you to the point of being bold. That emotion might not push you to the point of feeling like, I've got to respond. This is not right. This is not fair. It's called justice. You know, I got to bring forth justice. This is wrong. I got to make it right. And so the anger comes in as an emotion, and it does its job. And that's why we have to learn to say, you know what? It's okay. It's okay to be angry. It's not sinning when you feed into it and you allow it to take control over the situation where you're going to make a bad decision over the situation. Then you know you're in the wrong, because you cannot make proper, you know, decisions when you're angry. And that's a key thing about the scriptures, is the scriptures letting you know, I don't mind you being angry. I don't mind you having an emotion. Just don't let that emotion have you. Because when you're in the wrong state of negativity, when it deals with the negative emotion, you're not going to make good decisions. Everybody knows that. You just don't make good decisions. But during the emotion, it will push you to be bold enough to begin to recognize that this is rubbing me the wrong way. And think about that. If everything's going good, I'm just feeling all good and dandy and just all is well, no big deal. You know, like the Lion King said, Hakuna Matata, like, I have no worries, no big deal. And if I see something wrong, if I didn't feel the emotion, for example, of anger or frustration, guess what? Then I can't properly address it. Why? Because I need the extra unction. I need the extra unction of that energy flowing through me to say, hold on, this is not right. And sometimes situations demand that you be bold. And sometimes situations demand that you be sort of, for lack of better words, rubbed the wrong way, because that situation demands someone to answer it, because it could get worse. Or if it's not addressed, you know what? It could destroy something or someone. And so it's okay to feel the emotion. And what I do, once again, is every time I feel the emotion hit me, of something I'm mad about, I just say, you know what? You've done your job. Thank you for pointing that out to me. Thank you, because I was able to channel that energy. And what I mean channeling, I mean just get in the right frame of mind and channel that energy of the anger to know this is not right and I need to stand up and do something about it. And then when I acknowledge it and say, you know what? You've done your job. And then I can shift into my proper decision making over the situation. And so really an emotion basically just sort of re-harnesses you. It's sort of, you know, about what you need to do. It sort of shifts you into a new way of thinking to say, hold on, wait a minute. And here's what I tell people. Awakenings happen through emotion. Awakenings can happen through a negative emotion. Awakenings can happen through a positive emotion. But a lot of times, they happen, believe it or not, through negative emotions. Because negative emotions, even though we say they're all bad, everything negative is bad, that's true. But something negative can trigger an awakening in you within seconds. It's where you go from that moment that you react is what's going to count for you. Because it can either take you down a path where it's wrong for you and you make horrible decisions out of the anger, or you make amazing, powerful decision. It's when you recognize it. It's when you have the power over it is when you're going to, when it can help you. When you don't have the power over it, it will harm you. Think about that. So, once again, you know, and I use this example a lot because it's really good, and that is, you know, manure. Manure is disgusting, it's gross, but it's the best fertilizer. So the key thing is, if you know how to channel that stuff, if you know what to do with it, for lack of better words, when I use the word channel, it just means where to redirect it. That's all it means. So if I know where to channel it, then it can work for me. If I don't, it's going to work against me, and it's going to be disgustingly nasty, and I want to run from it. So think about that from the point of anger. Is let it do its job, and that is, it's here to awaken you that the situation is not right. So recognize it. Let it push you to the place of boldness. Let it push you to the place of demanding that situation is demanding a response. And you know what? You're going to live in victory all the rest of your day, the days of your life. But if the moment you don't allow it to be housed and you take it and it takes you over, guess what's going to happen? You're going to make horrible decisions, and you're going to ruin your name. And the Bible says a good name is to be chosen among riches. Remember that today. I want you guys to be able to understand from a healthy point of view how to think and not feel like everything negative is so evil. Just learn from these negative things. Everything in this universe is there to teach you. Everything. There's not one thing in the entire universe in creation that I do not allow it to teach me. I allow everything to teach me. I allow the good, the bad, the ugly, every bad, every good, you know, to show me something. When people say, well, what is death good for? Death can't show you anything good. Sure it can. Everything in this universe grows and dies, is born, grows and dies. Everything does. And so guess what? Death can be a beautiful thing. It really can. It's how you want to look at it. When someone dies, I don't look at that and say, my life is over. Everything's horrible. I look at that and I say, you know what? It's a horrible thing. And it makes you feel weird. Let's just face it, folks. Either you've lost a parent like I have, or you've lost loved ones or friends like I have recently. It makes you feel a little weird, does it not? Because you're like, oh my gosh. But here's what it does. It awakens you. It wakes you up to say, ah, am I doing that in my life? You know what? I need to take my life more seriously. I need to make sure that I'm doing what's right in my life. And then you start thinking and pondering on different things, on good things, about how to improve yourself. Maybe you might think to yourself, because I don't want to end up like that person. You know, they died from this. How can I avoid that? Or maybe, wow, that person didn't accomplish anything in their life. Wow, I awakened to the fact that I need to accomplish something in my life. I need to have me a vision. Or you know, ooh, he was a mean man. Think of Ebenezer Scrooge. He was a mean man. Am I that person? Or someone who died because they were serving God and lived an amazing life and left a legacy. Well, guess what? That can trigger you to say, I want to leave a legacy too. So negativity is not always bad. It's how we view it and how you allow it to take you over. Or either you learn from it, and therefore you can sort of drain it of what it needs to be doing in your life, and then you let it go. And that's a key thing. Learn from everything, folks. You know, I am so past that point in the immaturity of my life of blaming the devil for everything. Everything's evil. Everything's bad. You know, look at my life, and oh, the devil's attacking me. Well, is it an attack, or is it maybe something stupid on my part that happened? Did. You know, is it something that, you know, that someone else did that just happens to be human, not the devil? I mean, there's some things in life that just happen, folks. And therefore, through those times, you've got to know, is this demanding a response from me? Because the truth is, mostly, a lot of things in life demand responses. And so ask yourself that question. Am I moving in the right emotion? Am I responding properly out of the reaction of my anger? And if you know that you step out of yourself to look at it, and you can properly recognize for what anger is doing to you and what is trying to awaken in you, you're going to be just fine in your life. So I wanted to sort of leave that with you guys today, because I think sometimes people are afraid of their emotions. They're afraid that you know, we don't go by what we see or feel. It doesn't mean that you're not going to feel. It just means, you know, weigh your feelings out and sort of weigh it out to something else with logic and reason. Look at that and say and pray about it. You know, okay, I'm feeling this right now. I don't want this to take me over, but I need to be aware of that feeling. And what is the feeling telling me? And through that feeling, God, why am I having it? What is it here to show me? You know, that I can change or shift or think about or ponder on. So I look at life and say, you know what? Everything is here to teach me. Everything I can pull from it. And, you know, it's like pulling the Christ out of everyone. Everything you can learn from. Everything. I don't have time in my immature days to blame Satan for everything that moves and breathes and in my life. And you don't learn from that. Oh, yeah, I do. I learned how to bind and loose. That doesn't teach you anything. It doesn't, folks. You can bind and loose so the cows come home. That's wonderful and great. But the truth is, you're destined to repeat it again if you didn't learn something from a situation. Everything in my life I take with calmness and peace and joy. That's why my life is joyful. It's not full of warfare and strife and finding the devil under everything and moving all the drama and the hype and the trauma, for lack of better words, you know, within the charismatic move. I'm allowing myself to transcend that. And transcend past that. Be seated in heavenly places, like God told Paul. You know, and you're be seated in heavenly places and realize I'm above this stuff. I should grow up by now. I should grow up and put away childish things and begin to understand my life can be what I want to create it as. And if something comes my way that's not so pretty, guess what? I don't freak out about it. I don't react to it. I don't find a Bible and throw it at the devil, you know, every 5 minutes. No, I just say, you know what? It is what it is. It's okay. What can I learn from it? What can I take from it? Let me just redirect my life, because I'm the one that's co-creating with God. And because I'm co-creating with God, I'm the one that has a say-so in my life. And if I freak out, I'm not going to make a good decision. If I bind the devil, that doesn't help me to make a decision, not one bit. What I need to do is pay attention to the detail and understand, if I've attracted this into my life, what is it here for? Is it a mirroring effect of something that's in me that I can change? Is it trying to awaken me? I love that because I put that in my book, The Awakening Factor, my newest book, The Awakening Factor, because I wanted everyone to see that everything in life is here to awaken you and trigger something in you to say, pay attention to it. Emotions, feelings, people, places, things, everything is here wanting and demanding your response of what you can see from it. What can you learn from it? Do I need to go this route? Or is that the situation speaking to me, or do I go another route? Let everything prophesy to you, folks. Life is too short. Life is too short. Let everything be presented to you that you're attracting to say, is that who I really am? Is that a part of me? Do I have that issue that I see in someone else that's near me? They're in my life for a reason. And you know what's great about it? Self-examination, self-evaluation is one of the key things of our lives. And when we do that, your life turns out so beautiful. It's taking responsibility. Taking responsibility, loving yourself, looking at life as everything teaching you, and knowing that God's got your back. So why even worry and give in to anything? Life can be a little bit easier. And I'm not saying it's going to be perfect, but your life can be so much easier, so full of joy and peace and making memories and loving life when you understand the principles of the kingdom and not understand the principles of religion that makes you dig and hide and run and bind and all this other stuff. When you learn the powers of the seated in heavenly places, you understand I can transcend past this. I have that right and I have that power to do that. So the choice is up to you folks today. So I want to leave all that with you guys today. If you get a chance, get my book, The Awakening Factor. You're going to find some of this stuff and a lot more in it that I promise you guys will totally energize you, awaken you, and you'll see life from a totally different angle. Go to the website, identitynetwork.net, and when you do, just put in The Awakening Factor, The Awakening Factor, and when you do, get it today. You can order the ebook or the book. If you order the book, I'll be more than happy to autograph it for you, because you guys deserve that. You deserve to have an autograph book. So I'd love to be able to help you out there. So you guys have a blessed day today. Don't forget to tune into next week's podcast, and also go and create your reality this week because you deserve it. Life is waiting on you to answer it and to tell it what to do. Have a blessed week.
This has been the Thoughts Become Things podcast with Jeremy Lopez, helping you reach your highest creative potential that God has for you. For more episodes, products, and information on Jeremy, visit www.identitynetwork.net.